Hour number three of the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM channel 204. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. Even on a Monday morning, even at 11 a.m. Eastern time, it is still happy hour. Why? Because it's Monday Night Football tonight. We got some football to talk about and break down, and we will do that with the Saints reporter Aaron Summers for that inside perspective on the New Orleans Saints against the Seattle Seahawks later tonight on a Monday Night Football. Aaron joins us later in this hour, as does our sportsbook conciliary Dave Sharapan, to talk a little bit of everything. NFL, MLB, who to focus on for the World Series. What hat will Dave Sharapan be wearing today? The mystery remains, and we will find out later in this happy hour as well. And then coming up next, it is pro football doc Dr. David Chow looking back on the injuries from yesterday, looking forward to tonight. Also, Dr. Chow and the guys over at Pro Football Doc, kind of pretty good handicappers this year based on health and status reports. That's something to dive into as well. But right now, we focus on the NFC West, because not only is one team in the NFC West playing tonight, the Seattle Seahawks, the NFC West with a topic of conversation yesterday based on a couple of big spreads and the teams at the top of the division taking care of business. Now, the Rams did not cover against the Lions, but they still beat Detroit 28-19 in a revenge game on many different angles yesterday in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. The Arizona Cardinals were a 19.5-point favorite at close prior to kick against the Houston Texans, and they covered that number, remaining unbeaten this year, a perfect 7-0 and 6-1 against the spread, beating the Houston Texans 31-5. This is our West Coast wake-up, so we focus on the NFC West here to round out and to start, hour number three of the morning after. So let's look at those NFC West divisional odds as it currently stands on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Arizona Cardinals are the odds-on favorite right now to win this division at minus 185. The LA Rams, the second shortest odds at plus 175 as things stand. It's an interesting comparison to the rest of the marketplace when it comes to the NFC Conference Championship, because although the Cardinals are the odds-on favorite in this division right now in the NFC West, they actually have slightly longer odds than the Rams do in the NFC Conference Championship market. The Rams have the second shortest odds in the NFC overall at plus 450. The Cardinals tied for the third shortest odds with the Green Bay Packers at plus 500. The rest of the NFC West is a very different picture how things stand at the moment. The San Francisco 49ers are now 30-1 after losing last night to the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football. San Fran is just 2-4 this year overall. They are just 1-5 against the spread. They are just 1-4 as a favorite so far this year against the number. When you look at where San Francisco started the year in the NFC West, they were the favorites heading into the preseason and into the regular season at plus 185. Even after week number two of this year, they got as low as a plus 160 favorite to win the NFC West, but they haven't won a game since week number two. They have lost four straight games against good competition. The Rams, the Seahawks with a healthy Russell Wilson, and the Arizona Cardinals, and then last night to the Indianapolis Colts. So again, when you look at those NFC West divisional odds, the San Francisco 49ers plus 3,000 now, 30-1 to win this division on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Taking a look at the odds as it pertains to the Seattle Seahawks, as I pulled these up here, and the graphic would be great to see once again as we are looking through this NFC West marketplace as things stand. The Seattle Seahawks with the longest odds once again to win this division at plus 6,000. As we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience here, the third and final hour of the morning after on this Monday rolls on. I am Ben Stevens, and you are listening on Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090 out on the West Coast. As I was mentioning, and if we throw up the graphic one more time, the Seattle Seahawks plus 6,000, 60-1, the longest odds to win the NFC West as things currently stand on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Entering the year, the Seahawks had the third longest odds to win this division, or the third shortest odds, the second longest, the third best odds to win the NFC West at plus 270. They got down to plus 260. Now very long odds as things stand with Geno Smith as the quarterback entering Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints. So 60-1 for the Seahawks, 30-1 for the Niners, and then short odds on the Arizona Cardinals, who are the odds-on favorites, at minus 185, and the Los Angeles Rams at plus 175 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, the Rams shorter odds to win the NFC at plus 450, the Arizona Cardinals plus 500. So the San Francisco 49ers, 1-5 against the spread now so far this year, just 2-4 straight up. The Seattle Seahawks enter tonight on Monday Night Football at home against the New Orleans Saints, 3-3 against the number, in getting 4.5 points as the home underdog tonight. If you remember, just last Sunday night in the first start for Geno Smith in Seattle this season, they were also around a 4.5 point underdog against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Seattle Seahawks covered that number. So they are 1-0 against the spread with Geno Smith as the starting quarterback in Seattle. Could there be some value on the Seahawks at 60-1 to win the NFC West right now as Russell Wilson gears up to come back from a finger injury on that right throwing hand? Probably not. Where I would look on the Seattle Seahawks right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, when these odds are up live as it stands, the make playoff odds for the Seahawks, as I'm pulling those up right now, plus 490. I still think there's an outside shot. Once Russ gets back, if they can kind of keep their heads above water, can the Seahawks, and maybe doing that on Monday night, plus 490 to make the postseason, there could be some value right there. All right, on the other side of the break, pro football doc Dr. David Chow joins us to look at some injuries across the National Football League. Maybe also give us a pick for Monday Night Football. He's a great handicapper as things stand. Stay with us here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 on this Monday morning. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. We are going to be joined by pro football doc Dr. David Chow here in just a moment to talk about the injuries across the NFL landscape and a little bit of how Doc's been doing when it comes to his NFL handicapping so far this season, because it has been very good and very profitable. As you look at the NFL and how things stand, one final note on Monday Night Football, as we were just discussing it, and we'll break down this game next segment with Aaron Summers, who is a reporter for the New Orleans Saints. But you remember the weather last night in San Francisco for that game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football? It was disgusting. It was miserable. It was going to be a downpour. We might see some of that on Monday night up in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, a 100% chance of rain. How that affects the prop market and the gameplay overall, we will break down a little bit later in this hour. But now joining us from ProFootballDoc.com, it is Dr. David Chow. Dr. Chow, how you doing? And welcome to The Morning After.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I'm not doing as well as you, though, when it comes to my handicapping across the National Football League this year. Another stellar week based on the health and injury report and the status of teams entering a game. How has it been going so well, Dr. Chow?
Look, I'm not a handicapper. I'm an injury analyst. So we look at cluster injuries and injury health advantages. And I don't even look at schemes, player talent, et cetera, because the line takes care of that. So to me, it's the hidden advantages based on injuries, how we arrive at this. We were 5-0 last Sunday, 4-1 this week. But I'm actually happier always about being on the right side. By the way, I'm in California. I don't even place a wager. I follow the laws, et cetera. But here's what I'm happiest about. We said our pick of the week was Bengals, take the Bengals over the Ravens. You're getting 6.5, a road underdog. And they won easily. So that clearly was the right side, right? And look, the ball's not round. You know, things happen, bad beats, whatever. That was clearly the right side. The over on the Patriots-Jets game, single-handedly New England hit the over, right? The under on the Carolina Panthers-New York Giants game, it was a baseball score at half, 5-3.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good, right? And the Green Bay versus Washington, we were on the right side all game, but, you know, we were exposed slightly that last drive to a backdoor cover, but it never materialized. It's still the right side, but not as, you know, in terms of the big picture. And clearly the one we were wrong on was Detroit against the Rams. Rams were the healthier side. They were never going to cover 15 or 16 points in that game. And so that one's not as good. But look, if we can get on the right side more than the wrong side, that's what we're trying to do with the injury advantages.
And that is spot on right there, Dr. Chow, because the pro handicappers, and you are not one, but the pro handicappers will tell you it's the thought process behind backing a good bet that will pay off time and again. You might have a bad bet and it might hit. You might have a good bet that does not. But the thought process and the field view that you guys use to generate who is the healthier side is certainly a good thought process. One of your picks yesterday was that over for the game between the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. In that game, Jets rookie quarterback Zach Wilson left and did not return. Adam Schefter earlier this morning saying it looks to be a sprain to the knee and Zach Wilson could miss anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. Is that also what you saw, Dr. Chow, when it came to Zach Wilson yesterday?
Well, that's what we said in game. It was a right knee PCL sprain. And that's what we made video right after the game saying he's missing at least 2 weeks and he could get put on injured reserve, probably will get put on injured reserve, missing 2 to 4 for a grade 2 PCL is reasonable. We hope the MRI shows a grade 2 PCL, not a grade 3. A grade 3 would be longer than that. But he is missing at least the next 2 games. And we put that up at Pro Football Doc, and we even have a video on the Twitter timeline. And in game, we did it from the command center based off of video. And that really is our strength, injury analysis. No one's better than Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and all the beat reporters out there, Mike Garofalo, all the national reporters, on reporting injuries. We don't report injuries. We analyze injuries, and we use video. And in-game, I feel like we have the advantage because sources don't talk till typically after the game. In-game, we have the video talking, and that's kind of what we rely on, and that's what our strength is. And then we go back and look at video for all the other things that weren't reported, and we use that for the SIC, the six score, for each player, getting our team six score, getting our field view, and then getting our health advantage selections. That's the process. It takes a whole week to do it.
So, Dr. Chow, the time frame right now for Zach Wilson has been laid out as 2 to 4 weeks. You discussed some of the scenarios there. Could there be any long-term effects for the rest of the season for the young rookie quarterback for the Jets?
Well, you know, the question is there anything else besides the PCL? We hope it's isolated. Is there some cartilage damage of some sort? You know, we have good video and good ideas there, but it's not X-ray or MRI vision into his knee. So there can be some surprises, but 2 to 4 weeks is about what we think for the grade two, which is what it should be. I don't think it's a grade three. Look, this certainly puts a monkey wrench into a bunch of different things. The Jets have been pretty beat up on defense. And that's why we said the over, right? All three starting linebackers were out, including number one run stopper C.J. Mosley, right? And I think the Patriots, Damian Harris had over 100 yards. The Patriots had almost 150. They put up a 50-burger on the Jets. And so that's kind of what we looked at.
Yeah, they attacked the middle of that defense without C.J. Mosley, leading to that 50-burger. There was not a lot of scoring out of the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday against the Tennessee Titans. And late in that fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes took a gnarly hit. You could tell he was visibly out of it for what seemed to be a little bit, but then did clear concussion protocol. They kept him out of the game. What did you make of that late game scenario in the fourth for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
Look, I didn't think there was any way he was going to come back into the game. Part of that was score, but part of that is he saw that he was a little shaky when he got up. I don't know. Look, he cleared concussion protocol. You know, I'm sure the independent guys looked at it. Remember, it was a road game, so you can't say it was a Kansas City Chiefs homer physician, quote, independent physician clearing him. This was somebody in Tennessee clearing him. But here's the key. We knew he cleared the concussion protocol because he remained on the sidelines. You can't remain on the sidelines if you're in the concussion protocol. And also he spoke to media after the game, and you can't do that if you're in the concussion protocol. So that at least is good news. His next snap back wasn't a big deal. He's going to be available Monday against the Giants this coming week.
And the Chiefs, a double-digit favorite as things stand for that Monday Night Football game against the New York Giants. Kansas City just 3-4 straight up this year. They need Patrick Mahomes, and they need to start winning some football games. For the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, Dr. Chow, Miles Sanders, their star young running back, carted off the field. Philly dealing with a lot of injuries offensively as well. Did you see anything video-wise about the injury to Miles Sanders and what it could be looking like moving forward?
Yes, it was a low inversion right ankle sprain, very similar to Saquon Barkley's left ankle 2 weeks ago. This is his right ankle. And I always say, judge the injury, not the reaction to the injury. I had beat reporters texting me and saying, you sure it's not worse? He got carted off. I'm hearing x-rays are negative. I'm like, of course x-rays are negative. That's not a fracture play. Just because he was carted off doesn't mean it's worse. Be it stadium logistics, be it they didn't want him to limp, or be it, you know, convenience, he was carted off, but that still is just a, quote, ankle sprain. It's a big deal for a mobile running back like Miles Sanders. He's going to miss some time. He's going to miss at least one, maybe 2 weeks. You know, if it's more severe, could it be a third? He's going to miss a little bit of time, but it's not season ending for him. No surgery. I'm sure they'll get an MRI to confirm, et cetera.
Dr. David Chow of ProFootballDoc.com giving us the insight on the injuries from yesterday in the NFL and also showing you how to handicap a little bit just based on the field view and the health status of teams. Dr. Chow, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks. And use it as a tool. See if it matches what you think. Maybe you go 2 units, right?
Hey, I'm going to use it as a tool. I need some help, Dr. Chow. So thank you very much, and we'll talk very soon. Aaron Summers from the Saints joins us on the other side to talk about Monday Night Football. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on The Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. We are now joined by a reporter for both the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans. It is Aaron Summers joining us here on a Monday on The Morning After. And I emphasize that because not only is this the busiest time of the sports calendar in the month of October when the NFL, college football, NHL, NBA is all happening, Aaron has both of the teams that she covers in action on this Monday night. Not only Monday Night Football out in Seattle for the Seahawks and the Saints, also the New Orleans Pelicans on the road taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Aaron, we thank you very much for joining us on what I'm sure is going to be a very busy but hopefully fun Monday for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully I can keep it all focused on football for today's show right here.
But if you want to give us any picks or any decisions that we might have for the Pelicans and T-Wolves game, we can do that at the end. But yes, let's focus at first on Monday Night Football. The Saints on the road tonight up in the Pacific Northwest. They are laying 4.5 points as the road favorites. Aaron, they are coming off of a bye. How good was that bye for the New Orleans Saints? What do you think they emerge out of like tonight against the Seahawks?
Usually you don't want to have a bye that early in the season because you haven't had a lot of games. You don't necessarily need the time off to recover and rest to get ready for the last push of the season. However, for the Saints, it was absolutely necessary and came at a really good time because they've had so many problems with injuries. They were able to get several people back on the field. The offensive line looks like it's going to be intact for the first time since really the first drive of the game against the Green Bay Packers in week 1. So that is good for Jameis Winston and the offense, especially since the weather could be such a factor in tonight's game. Really might need to emphasize that run game, and having the stability on the offensive line will help. 3-2 is not a bad place for the Saints to be sitting after their first 5 games of the season. And they're really hoping to ramp things up as the rest of the season goes.
I was going to ask you about that weather, because if you watch Sunday Night Football, you know how dismal it looked in San Francisco. Well, some of that is making its way up north to Seattle. 100% chance of showers. There could be some wind gusts. You are currently in New Orleans, but what are you hearing about the weather for Monday Night Football tonight?
It's been a big topic of conversation. And if you've ever followed Coach Sean Payton, then you know how upset he gets if you don't wear the right cleats. So that has been something that all the players have brought up in their press conferences, saying that they're getting ready to make sure that they have the right shoes to be playing on that wet surface and make sure that they're not going to be slipping all over the football field, because Coach Payton will not be happy if that comes into play. That's something you can take care of ahead of the game, and he expects them to. The stat of the week this week from Coach John Payton was, other than the red zone, that their efficiency there, it was how much wind will be a factor. And he said the 17 mile per hour gusts of wind that they could expect is definitely something that they're going to keep an eye on and will have an effect on their play calling.
So, Aaron, you see the over-under for tonight's game. It's 41.5. You mentioned that the ground game is going to be an emphasis. How much do you expect them to go to guys like Alvin Kamara tonight against the Seahawks?
Alvin Kamara is going to be the guy for the Seahawks because they do not have Taysom Hill tonight, who is out with a concussion. He suffered that in their last game before the bye week and is still going to be out for tonight's game, which is a big factor. He is one of those guys that can barrel through at the line. He's got 3 touchdowns on the season and somebody they really do rely on. So it's definitely going to be up to Kamara, who they'll also be without their running back, Dwayne Washington, as a possibility tonight, as he's been limited at practice. So it's all going to go on him, but he's ready for it. He said that he's been getting a lot of carries this season. He's averaging about 25 per game, and that's been absolutely fine for him. He has not had any issues recovering, and coming off the bye week, he should be really refreshed and ready to go.
Coming off of the bye, of course, also the focus will be on Jameis Winston entering tonight on Monday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. Jameis's last couple of games have looked really, really good, throwing for over 225 yards in the last 2 games for the New Orleans Saints. How do you think Jameis used the bye week to continue that improvement so far for the Saints?
He has watched a lot of film. He wants to continue to improve in his decision-making. We've seen that improvement throughout the season already, as he has had several games here without any interceptions at all. He's making really good decisions, and a lot of those have been long balls. I mean, he is throwing some deep passes. We saw a 72-yard touchdown pass in their last game against Washington. He's not afraid to sling it when he can. But again, bringing it back to the weather, you're going to have to make sure that you're making decisions on when to throw the ball when you know you have a higher percentage opportunity to make that catch pass, because, you know, obviously wet balls are harder to handle, harder to catch. They have been doing some wet ball drills in practice trying to get ready for that. But we expect that Jameis Winston will come in focused and ready. It's a Monday Night Football game. It's a big primetime game and an opportunity for him to really show everybody how much he's improved.
12 touchdowns this year for Jameis, only 3 interceptions. In fact, in the prop market on FanDuel right now, the no has more juice for Jameis to throw an interception than does the yes. It's been a couple years since that has been the case for Jameis Winston. On the other side, Aaron, New Orleans defense this year has been so, so good. A top 5 scoring defensive unit in the NFL. What's been the key for that Saints defense so far?
It's been incredible, especially with all the injuries on that side of the ball. There have been a lot of younger players that have stepped up, a lot of the rookies that have seamlessly moved into playing at this level. And right now, they're 2nd in the league, only allowing 79 yards on the ground, which, if this game tends towards a run-heavy game, that's going to be a problem for the Seattle Seahawks. And they're only allowing 18.2 points per game. So that's the factor there that comes into that over and under. That's good for 4th best in the NFL right now. They're just not allowing a lot of points. They have a lot of good veterans on the squad. Obviously, everybody knows Marshawn Lattimore has been playing great. DeMario Davis, the leader of the line there, you know, he has not had a lot of sacks. They've only had 8 on the season. But I think that number will pick up today. Last week, Geno Smith was sacked 5 times alone in that game. Mm-hmm. So I think the Saints will be ready to kind of pounce on that opportunity.
So, Aaron, we've talked about the weather. We've talked about all the matchup keys heading into tonight. If you think the Saints can go on the road and get a win tonight, what will be the biggest thing you want to see out of New Orleans to get that road victory this evening?
They really have to make sure that they take care of the football. You don't want any unnecessary turnovers. And obviously, they're going to have to make good decisions. It's going to start with Jameis Winston, and it's going to continue with everybody on the squad. You need to play a clean game, no penalties. Those are the things that you can control in a situation like this when you're going in to a field that could potentially be affected by the weather. And it is hard to play there. It gets really loud. So there are going to be a lot of factors that are going to benefit Seattle in this matchup. There's going to be a real home field advantage. They're used to playing in that environment for a lot of different reasons, because of how loud it can get, because of the weather, because it's going to be colder. Heck, it's 80 degrees here in New Orleans and it's 50 there. So that is a difference as well. You know, there's a lot of things that bode well for the the Seahawks, so the Saints have to come in and play a clean, smart football game.
Aaron, when you're looking at the NFC South right now, obviously the reigning Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are the heavy favorites to win that division at minus 750 right now. But the Saints starting to build some of that momentum within that division. What do you make of the outlook the rest of the year for the Saints in the NFC South and the NFC overall?
Yeah, so I mentioned it earlier, with all of the injuries that the Saints had, at one point they had 12 people on IR. It's ridiculous. So being able to make it through the hurricane, the way the season started, the injuries at 3-2 was pretty impressive. And I don't think a lot of people really have kind of taken that into consideration, all the factors and the new people that they have on the football field. They're going to get a lot of those guys back. We haven't even mentioned Michael Thomas is obviously eligible to come back. He should be making it back to the football field in a few weeks, and that will be huge for Jameis Winston to have him on the field with Alvin Kamara. And then we're hopefully going to get the kicker and Will Lutz back. There's a lot of guys that kicking has been an issue for the Saints this season that will really help coming in the next few weeks. So we're just going to continue to get a lot of big names and good players back on the football field. So I think that even though everybody thinks the Tampa Bay Bucs are the favorite here, the Saints really do have the potential to once again come in and win the division.
Yeah, when you look at the Bucs, minus 750, those are very long odds. The Saints, the second shortest odds at plus 650. But if it's not winning the division outright, right now the New Orleans Saints, minus 138 to the yes to make the playoffs. So it would seem, Aaron, that the Saints would at least be a wild card team in the NFC. Is that the ceiling for the Saints this year? How good do you think this New Orleans Saints team can be? Only about a minute left here in this segment.
Yeah, I think a lot of the players will say that they expect to win it all, right? I mean, that's always what a player is going to say. And the coach has continued to say that there is a lot more that this team can do. The potential is there. They expect to be in the playoffs. They expect to be able to play for a championship and for a title. And as the season continues on, it's going to be exciting to see how much more they start to click on the field.
Aaron Summers joining us here on The Morning After on a very, very busy Monday for her. She's a reporter for both the Saints and the Pelicans, both of those teams in New Orleans in action on the road tonight, both Monday Night Football against the Seahawks and the Pels taking on the T-Wolves as well. Aaron, thank you so much for your time on a very busy Monday. Great insight, and thank you for being here as always.
Hey, thank you for having me. Have a really good rest of the day, and make sure you watch us play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, hey. Two post-game shows that Aaron Summers is hosting tonight. She's doing double duty for a big night in the sports world in New Orleans. Aaron, thank you so much again. Coming up next here on The Morning After, we will hear from the sportsbook conciliary Dave Sharapan himself. What hat will he be wearing? What will he want to discuss? Will it be Monday Night Football in the NFL? Will it be the World Series that starts tomorrow between the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros? You never know with Dave. One thing we can guarantee, it's always nighttime in Pittsburgh. Stay with us here on The Grid, SiriusXM Channel 204, coming back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on The Grid and The Morning After, SiriusXM Channel 204. I am your host, Ben Stevens. I am here in our Midtown Manhattan studios. It is daytime behind me, right? It's only like 11:40 a.m. Eastern, but it is always nighttime in Pittsburgh. And now we welcome on to the show Dave Sharapan, our sportsbook conciliary, former odds maker himself, and he is wearing a vintage Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat, riding with the front runners and the NFC favorites right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What else is new for Dave Sharapan? Dave, a pleasant Monday morning to you.
Ben Scott Stevens, yes, it's nighttime in Pittsburgh, and we're here out in Las Vegas. The Philadelphia invasion came. They didn't just, they all went to the game yesterday. A lot of them people left early. They found out it was pretty easy to get out of there pretty early, early second half. This is the benefits of having your team play in Las Vegas. You come out, you enjoy this beautiful new stadium, you get to go. But when things don't go so well, you just walk right back across the street to the Las Vegas Strip and lose some more money because a lot of people bet them yesterday and they're still trying to figure out where you – they're still looking for that window, Ben, that closing line value window at the book. Can't find it. Been looking for it for years. You get all that CLV, it don't win. It don't matter.
It does not matter at all. The Vegas Raiders ended as nearly like a point and a half favorite yesterday when that line was 3.5, 4.5 earlier in the week. The Raiders cover and they win. They are 5-2 straight up, 4-3 against the spread. They beat the Eagles yesterday, 33-22. Philly falling to 3-4 against the number this year. Some pretty desperate times for Nick Sirianni in year number one. And the hat that you were wearing, Dave Sharapan, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers covering as a 12.5-point favorite yesterday against the Chicago Bears at home. Tampa has covered at home in all three games. They have been a double-digit favorite this year. What has impressed you most about those Bucs as they look to contend again for a Super Bowl championship?
Well, you know, like yesterday, it was Gronk's out again. AB's not playing. Uh-oh, you know, they're not going to score as many points. All this guy does every week is deliver. I mean, it's just unreal to me. They score. Their goal every week is to just score as many points as they can. When they don't stop until they get 35 to 40 points every single week. They're not taking their foot off the gas. They cover the teasers every week at home. Like, this is one of those things in the book. When you can't beat them, you join them. And I mean, the creamsicle hat, it's pretty sweet. Like, this was all the stuff before you were even born, Benjamin. This is vintage stuff. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I think it looks very nice. I mean, Tampa right now this year, 4-3 against the numbers, 6-1 straight up. Three of those four wins against the spread have come at home again as a double-digit favorite. So, Dave, we saw Tampa laying 12.5 yesterday. We saw the Cardinals close near a 20-point favorite against the Houston Texans. The Los Angeles Rams laying 16.5 at home against the Detroit Lions. We're getting to that point of the year where some of the bad teams are very bad and some of the good teams are very good, and we have these huge spreads for an NFL Sunday slate. How should the casual sports bettor approach a spread that is nearing either three touchdowns or at the very least three scores?
Well, one is to start looking at Big Ten football and just bet the games under. Like, you should probably do that. That's one way to go about it. The other way, if you're going to bet these games, is you got to start looking at teasers. I mean, obviously, and it's hard to – for a lot of bettors, you know, you don't want to take the points and go up, but like getting all of those points does have some value. It's not an automatic punch the ticket, take the favorite down, and win the game. So I think you have to look at dogs sometimes. But I mean, it's okay to bet favorites too. A lot of people will tell you, oh, you can't bet favorites. You can't tease down this number, this and that. All those people that teased up the Bears yesterday, they're probably wondering why I didn't tease down the Buccaneers. There's teams like that every week. The other thing is to look at the totals. You can really attack a game with the totals if you don't like the side. Because when you see these big spreads, I've seen it for years in the books, they're the least bet games. And what ends up happening is that less people bet those games or just put them in money line parlays and things like that. And then they bet games they don't really want to bet, like the Eagles and Raiders game. It's a small spread, and everybody gets on one side. And then you make a mistake of getting involved in a game or a side that you really didn't want to, and then you're left holding that ticket going, yeah, I don't really want to bet the Eagles ever again. Just not this off for me.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the Bucs yesterday, I was breaking down this game on Friday, and in fairness, I said Chicago would probably cover a 12.5-point spread. But I said, if you look at Tampa's team total, It was at 30. If the Bears hold them under 30, they have a shot of winning this game. If Tampa goes over, they're probably going to cover. So if you didn't like the 12.5 for whatever reason, looking at Tampa Bay's team total, that could be another way of attracting and attacking a big spread for any NFL game. Dave, we also had a couple of interesting games in the AFC North. In fact, one game that was huge with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. It's the division of your favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now you have the Bengals at the top team in that division in the AFC North. A huge win for Cincy yesterday on the road against the Ravens, winning 41-17. How legit do you think the Bengals are this year?
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I think the Bengals are legit. I mean, Joe Burrow, I'm a big fan. I became a big fan of Joe Burrow in college. All my people that liked LSU were coming at me with Joe Burrow, spelled like, you know, Bayou and all this other stuff. Those LSU people are gone now. You people have stopped DMing me and texting me. I just want you to be aware that things are going on in LSU, not so much purple and gold and all that talking. But AFC North-wise, I mean, the Bengals are going to go over their season win total with the next with one more win, a push, and then one more after that, they're going to go over it. So I think books kind of saw this coming, Ben, but not like this right now. I mean, that was just an old-fashioned butt-whooping once they got the lead in that second half and just, you know, took it all the way, scored 41 on Baltimore. It's been a while since you've seen a big number against the Ravens. The Ravens are going to be fine. They'll fix what, you know, they bounce back from these things. I'm not getting excited about, you know, the Steelers. Like, you sit on a bye week and you watch this game and you go, oh boy, these youngins, everybody's getting going. Everybody, you know, we got to get another quarterback after Ben. We got one more run at this thing. And it's going to be interesting. This AFC North, I don't think the odds on favorites were Baltimore and Cleveland. It was like going to be one of those two. It's easy. The Bengals are in the mix, and it's October, end of October. I'm still not going to go get a Bengals hat, just so you know. I ain't wearing no Bengals hat. Can't do it.
Good. Yeah. I would hope you would not wear the hat of any other team in the AFC North. That would be where I draw the line for you here. On the grid, the Ravens are the odds on favorite, Dave, like you mentioned, -120, the Browns +250, the Bengals +330, the Steelers the longest odds to win the AFC North right now on FanDuel at 20-1. The Steelers are an even 500 coming off the bye. They're just going to need to keep pace in that division as things stand. And Cincy now -164 to make the postseason. Another big game in the AFC yesterday, Dave, the Titans absolutely walloping Kansas City at home in Nashville, winning that game 27-3. What side do you focus on more? How good Tennessee can be or how bad things are currently going for the Chiefs?
Oh, it's definitely Kansas City. I mean, the Raiders are winning the division, the AFC West. Like, adjustments have to be made ASAP right now in the AFC West. But what's weird is that no matter what happens on Sunday, when you open the lines on Monday, the Chiefs are favored. It doesn't matter who they're playing, where they're playing. They're favored on the road. They're favored at home. They're bigger favorites at home all the time than they should be. But they're 10-point favorites after losing 27-3 and having Mahomes get helped off the field at the end. Like, I don't know. I saw the hit. I saw him staring at the ground, not knowing where he was. Is he going to play this week? Like, is this one of those concussion protocol things? Like, you know, in the old days in hockey, you used to just shake your head and go on the ice and be like, okay, you know, it happened to me a couple times. You good? Yeah, I think so. And you don't even remember what day it is. Well, you don't do that anymore. So it's not like you can just give him some smelling salts and he'll practice this week and he'll be fine. So I think the adjustment there is more on the Chiefs. Tennessee, again, back-to-back weeks. That's Buffalo and Kansas City. Both at home, but both really good performances. Obviously, I think odds on Tennessee shorten. We'll get a real true measuring stick for Tennessee, man. The NFL is a week-to-week league. They go to the Colts now, and it's a pick 'em. And the Colts coming off that big win out west in that torrential downpour, Ben, that Northern California rain. Apparently, it's coming here. It said we're going to get some rain in Vegas. Not looking forward to that, but looking forward to some football games between that game and then, you know, my Steelers got to play the Browns and settle that score every week too. So,
oh, no love lost between those AFC North divisional foes. No. Also, Dave, this week, specifically tomorrow night, the World Series begins in Houston.
Yes,
the Astros and the Braves. You are a huge postseason baseball guy. The Astros, the favorites right now on FanDuel to win the World Series at minus 150. The Braves, the underdogs, at plus 125 entering tomorrow night for that series price overall. Who do you think has the edge in this World Series matchup?
Surprised at the line that it's this high. I think it's almost a pick'em. You know, Astros have home field, so you got to give them a slight favorite. But I'd have made this thing, you know, minus 120 and just let the bets kind of move it. The Astro stuff is cool. I got a little throwback on some, and I like the hat and everything. The Braves have tormented me since Francisco Cabrera hit that home run or hit that single and Bonds didn't throw out Sid Bream at the plate from 1992. The wounds are still fresh, Ben. That stuff doesn't go away. On a tomahawk chopping, still bothers me to this day. Still hurts right here. But
it should.
I got to pick a team in this thing. I'm telling you right now, I think the Braves win the World Series. I think their pitching is just that much better. They can set it up. Morton starting game one. Charlie Morton. All he does is show up in the postseason. Quality start. If that guy shows up, Garcia, and does all that rocking the baby, all that other stuff he was doing, that Texas two-step motion, rocking this, that, whatever, what he did was amazing to the Red Sox. I don't think they can do it again. So I'm leaning Atlanta right now. I'll have better stuff more tomorrow to confirm once we see the line of pitchers. Thank you for not mentioning Penn State. By the way, I feel much better about this whole segment. Thank you very much. I figured that was coming with the Big Ten stuff.
Listen, the only thing I'll mention is, because it was a beautiful game, a historic game in Happy Valley, is 20-18 in 9 overtimes. Only Big Ten football could play 9 overtimes, setting a new historic record in college football, and the game still fall under by more than a touchdown. That is Big Ten football. That is our sportsbook conciliary, Dave Sharapan. Nighttime in Pittsburgh, out from Las Vegas. Dave, we will talk very soon. Thank you, as always, for being here on the Morning After. Our bye-bye-bye best bet coming up next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 3 hours here together on the Morning After on Sports Grid at Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. Before we say goodbye, before we say farewell, to round out this Monday edition of the Morning After, it is time to give you our best bets for the nightly slate. Monday Night Football tonight up in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints. The Saints laying 4.5 on the road. The over-under total, 41.5. Why? Because of the weather. So here's our best bet. Here is Bye Bye Bye. You all saw Sunday Night Football last night up in San Francisco. Torrential downpour, gusts up to 40 miles per hour. It was disgusting weather that reminds you of a late December day out in the Midwest. We're going to get something pretty similar tonight. Up in Seattle, weather forecast calls for 100% chance of rain, gusts up into 25 miles per hour. We just spoke with Saints reporter Aaron Summers, who said all that she's hearing from the team, it's as bad as they can expect it to be. That's why the over-under total opened at 44.5 has dropped all the way to 41.5 tonight for the Saints and Seahawks on Monday night. What does all that mean? A ground game, a good-fashioned running game, establishing the run, something Pete Carroll still believes in. How do we find a value? How do we find edges? We go to the rushing yards prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and we look at Seattle's running back tonight Alex Collins going over his rushing yards prop of 46.5. Last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, ran the ball 20 times, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Also went over this number of 46.5 2 weeks ago against the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the Saints have the second best rushing defense in the NFL, but it is going to be a ground and pound game tonight on Monday night. I think that prop gets steamed up probably closer to 50 by the time we get to kick based on all of those weather reports. Alex Collins over 46.5 rushing yards, maybe an anytime touchdown prop of plus 210 on Alex Collins as well. Plenty of value for Monday Night Football. We talk about it tomorrow. We come back tomorrow right here, 9 a.m. Eastern on The Morning After on SiriusXM Channel 204. We'll talk to you soon.
Are you one of us?
We've just got one question.
Do you like games?
We